What's up, and welcome to 10 Facts About Today, April 20th, 2020. Today is National Cold Brew Day.
In this episode, we learned cold brew can make you live longer, it can be infused with nitrogen to make it creamy, and it's easier on the stomach.
So here are 10 energizing facts about cold brew that you didn't know that you didn't need to know.
Fact 1. Cold brew tastes sweeter than regular coffee. So I know you already knew this, but because it only has about a third of the acidity than hot brew, if you will, it can still be like as full-bodied as regular coffee, but it's without the bitter aftertaste. I heard some things that might vary a little bit with that, but I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit more later.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So fact number 2, cold brew can make a great pre-workout. So you've been saying this for like years now, but since a lot of cold brew is like high in caffeine, it helps release endorphins, and that can help you get through workouts with less fatigue and muscle pain.
Yeah, and it has less sugar too, which is nice because a lot of pre-workouts have sugar or sugar alternatives.
And a lot of chemicals and stuff.
Yes, exactly. Like I personally, if I'm going to work out, I want to be able to pronounce what's in there. People have been drinking coffee forever. Well, you know, that seems safe.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So fact number 3 kind of ties into working out, but cold brew is better for dieting. So this also brings into what we were saying before. It tastes a little sweeter and it's smoother. So it's easier to drink with less sugar and less cream and less flavors and things like that. There are also ways to drink it with all the benefits of adding cream, but none of the extra calories and fat. And I saw that that's going to be one of your facts later on. So I'll let you keep that one.
For sure.
All right. Fact number 4, you can make ice cream out of cold brew. So there's a lot of ways to do this, but one way you could do it is if you add whipped cream or whipped coconut cream and you whisk it, it will make like a frothy, edible, eatable coffee. And nice. Then you freeze it and it turns into like a coffee ice cream. And I also saw recipes where you can put it into brownie batter and make brownies that are like cold brew infused.
Nice. That sounds delicious.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. And then my final fact, fact number 5, cold brew can make you live longer. Now, I need to first say that we are not doctors or scientists or saying you should only drink cold brew because you'll live forever. But new research was claiming that drinking a cup of cold brew every day can be good for your health. And it even suggests that it may lengthen your life. So it burns fat and increases insulin sensitivity and decreases the risk of dementia. This is all from a study from the National Institute of Health, I believe. There's going to be a link in the show notes to it. It's on my list and fact number 5. So check it out there and click it if you want to hear more about it. But I thought that was pretty cool that some studies are saying it's the elixir of life.
Yeah, I mean, I know today's National Cold Brew Day, but I deal with it all the time and I'm always looking stuff up. And it's funny that there's so little research on cold brew to back up a lot of the claims that people make about it. So it's nice that people are starting to do the research that needs to be done.
Like
actual chemistry is going into it, not a study from a company that sells cold brew stuff.
Yeah. And the hard part too is like, this is a study, but it's like short-term effect of cold brew also. Like it's harder to see what the long-term effects are.
Definitely. So fact number 6, cold brew is better for sensitive stomachs. And I can 100% attest to this because if I drink a hot cup of coffee, I immediately feel like a stomach pain. And I've never had that issue ever with cold brew. I think it's because based on the studies that I have read, it's based on the fact that it extracts different acids at lower temperatures. So some acids to come out of the coffee require hot water. So if you never introduce hot water, you still get acids out of the coffee, but they're different types and they're easier on your stomach. So that's kind of cool. If you have those problems, it'll help. Yeah. Fact number 7, coarse grounds make a huge difference in cold brew. So it's coarser than you would grind coffee for virtually any other way that you would prepare coffee, even a French press, which is already traditionally pretty coarse. The reason for that is there's better filtering. When you go to strain it at home, that's the first problem most people have, is their coffee is kind of grimy looking, and it's because they didn't get all the fines out. So That's good if you're brewing at home. Fact number eight, there's multiple ways to cold brew coffee. You can do it immersion style, which is where you grind it up and throw it in water. But there's also a really cool style that was, I think, either invented by the Dutch or the Japanese. There's different claims that I've found for who invented it. It reminds me of our cheesesteak and pizza episodes, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's called Kyoto style now. And what happens is there's this giant blown glass that's specifically made for cold coffee. You put water in the top, coffee in the middle, and it looks like a chemistry set. There's all these, like, the water spins around. It looks like a spring made of glass, and it slowly drips through the coffee. And it's a little bit faster than traditional immersion blends. You can have coffee by 5 to 6 hours.
Wow. I've seen that. That looks really awesome. It does look like a chemistry set. It's funny you said that. I didn't know it had, like, a specific name or anything, though.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's interesting to watch. Like, if it's something that you can kind of see it drip slowly, it reminds you of, like, one of those sand timers that you flip over.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like that. Fact number nine, cold brew has more and less caffeine than regular coffee. And back to those studies. The reason I say that is because I think when people go to try cold brew, a lot of people will tell them it has more caffeine, and a lot of people will tell them it has less caffeine, depending on which bias there is. And in reality, it has to do with three different factors. And it's one of my questions, so I'll get into that later. I almost told you what they were, but...
You can still tell me. I mean, that's fine. Just go ahead and tell me.
You can get that question right. But yeah, based on those three things, it's going to give you a total dissolved solid count. And based on how much the coffee dissolved into the water and how strong it is going to be how much caffeine it tastes. So if it tastes really strong to you, there's a good chance that it has more caffeine than a normal cup of coffee. And if it tastes weaker, there's a good chance it has less. And then fact number 10, back to your point, you can serve cold brew in a fun way that makes it creamy with no cream. And it's by infusing it with nitrogen like you would a Guinness beer. So it's pretty awesome. It doesn't add any more caffeine, which a lot of people think when they see nitro, they think of, like, Fast and the Furious. And it's like your car on like nitrous gas. Definitely not that. It's nitrogen. It's a cool way to drink coffee if you haven't drank it before. And I know it's a lot more accessible now. It started in small cafes like Stumptown and a couple places on the West Coast. But now most Starbucks have it. So you can try it for the first time. So it's, in my opinion, it's not the best, but it's a good introduction to it. And then there's a lot of small cafes that have it that you should go try it at.
It's delicious. I definitely recommend it as well. My favorite kind of coffee. I used to not like coffee, and now I love coffee, and nitro coffee is my favorite of them.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. You didn't like coffee at all. You never drank it. And now you're only drink nitro. Like, you'll drink other stuff, but you like nitro. If you could get it, you'll search for it.
Yeah, for sure. Also, if you guys want some good cold brew coffee, definitely got to check out drinkcandid.com. Link in the show notes. Also, check them out at Candid Coffee Co. on Instagram.
Hey, self-promotion.
That's all right. This episode is sponsored by Candid Coffee Co.
I think it's time for questions.
Here are the questions about cold brew you didn't know were questions until we questioned you. The winner of this episode will be known as the Caffeine King, which I love. That's awesome. All right, I guess I'm first. Brian, this one's a true or false. Cold brew dates back to the 16th century in China. True or false?
I'd say false.
The answer is true.
Really?
Yeah, so it's not the same kind of cold brew we have today, but they were brewing coffee cold back in the 16th century in China, according to the article I read.
That's funny. That's like the stuff that I've been looking up for a while. The thing that I've read is that the Dutch invented it when they were like sailing, Dutch sailors, because they couldn't brew hot coffee. So they took regular coffee and put it in cold water or room temperature water. And it lasted a while and they didn't have to worry about it going bad. They had no heat. And then I've also heard that Japan and a couple other places in Asia have invented it. So maybe China was on there as well. It's possible. Who knows, really?
Perhaps.
But if the article said it, whatever.
The article said it. I will send you a link just to make sure that I'm not lying.
No, it's cool. It's cool. I'm sure that there is claims for sure from China, because China's like one of the oldest countries anyway. So
yeah,
they invented everything.
All right. So that leads on to question number two. True or false? The energizing effects of cold brew take effect instantly.
False.
The answer is false. So it might be true, but if it's true, it's because of the placebo effect. In reality, it's going to take about 15 minutes at least for it to go into your stomach and digest, so it gets into your bloodstream. But some people think cold brew gets absorbed like under your tongue, like into your bloodstream. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. And if you drink too much coffee, then you can eat something. That helps.
Yeah, similar to alcohol. If you can like level out the amount of stuff that's in your blood, you could also drink water. Mm-hmm. All right. So question number three. I have a source for this one. So even if I'm wrong, there's a source. According to exactly. So according to Good Housekeeping, a pound of the most expensive coffee in the world can cost more than how much? $600, $800, $1,000, or $10,000.
So you're talking about just regular coffee, not cold coffee, just regular like just whole bean coffee?
The beans, yeah.
Okay. And it's a pound?
Yes.
Does it say what type of coffee it is? Or it's just the most expensive coffee?
It's just the most expensive coffee in the world. A pound of it costs how much?
I feel like 10,000 is not too bad. And I feel like it has to do with, there's a certain type of coffee bean that gets eaten by animals. And then they actually excrete it. And then they pick the beans out of it. And then they bag that.
That is the kind of coffee.
Yeah.
So 10,000 is your answer?
10,000, yeah.
According to Good Housekeeping, it's over $600.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, it could be $10,000 somewhere else, but Good Housekeeping said it was $600.
I couldn't remember how much it cost, but I know it's like a weird process, and I don't know that, like if they took pea berries and put them through a bat. What kind of animal was it again?
I don't remember if it was a bat. It was either a bat or a cat. Good. Yeah, so Brian just looked it up. Turns out it was a what kind of cat?
It's a civet, I think it's pronounced.
It's a civet cat.
Palm civets.
How do you spell that?
C-I-V-E-T-S.
There you go. That kind of cat.
It's called cat poop coffee. It's only $600.
All right, so question number four. True or false? You can overdose on coffee.
Overdose. I mean, I would definitely say yes, because caffeine's bad for your heart. So if you drink too much of it, it could probably cause cardiac arrest, or I don't know. It'd probably be a lot more than you'd think, but yes. I'll go
so
with
your
yes.
answer's true. All right. The answer is ding, ding, ding. True. So like you were saying, it'd be really hard, but you would need to drink about 30 cups of coffee in a very short amount of time, but it would give you a lethal dose of caffeine.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. And final question, question number five. What does the word coffee mean? And you know how much I like these ones.
Oh boy.
Does it mean energy bean, water, wine, or just coffee?
I don't think it means wine. I don't think it means water. I know it was discovered in Africa by a goat that ate a coffee cherry and then got crazy amounts of energy. I'll just go with just coffee. What was the first option?
The first option is energy bean.
No. I don't think so. Maybe. I'm going to go with it just means coffee.
The answer is coffee means wine. Yeah, so...
Really? In what language?
In Yemen, it's kawa, which is the Yemen term for wine. Turkey, it's kave. Dutch, it's coffee. And English, it's coffee.
Mm.
Yeah, so Yemen? That's where it's from. All right, so you got 1, 2, 3. Did you get China right?
No, I don't think so. I think I only got 2 right.
All right, 2 right. You're on your way to becoming the caffeine king, Brian.
All right. Question number one. What is the best kind of grinder to use for cold brewing? Is it a burr grinder or a bleed grinder?
It's obviously a burr grinder.
It is a burr grinder. Do you know why?
I have no idea. I just said obviously because I thought I was going to be wrong.
No. You're right. A burr grinder crushes beans, but it can crush it pretty consistently versus a blade grinder, which just kind of looks like you know how you have a chopper for chopping like onions or...
Yeah, it's almost like a blender.
Yeah, like a blender kind of. Yeah, that's like what a blade grinder does.
Gotcha. So it like slices, chops like that, or it crushes?
Or it crushes, yeah. And when it crushes, you can put them between blades that are the same size. So you get the particles that come out are consistent, and then you get a good extraction.
Awesome.
If you're brewing at home, that'll help.
There you go.
Look for a burr grinder.
Burr grinder, guys.
Question number two. True or false? Cold brew would taste different if it's brewed on the counter versus in the fridge. Assume you keep the time the same and the grind the same.
I mean, I would say this seems like a trick question. I would say no. I'm going to go with just my gut and say the answer is it tastes different if it's in the fridge.
Yes, it will taste different if it's in the fridge. So correct, yeah. Ooh. And the reason being, if the grind's the same and you put it inside of the fridge, the temperature will slow down the extraction.
Okay.
So yeah, so you'll get a much stronger coffee on the countertop than you would in the fridge. So that's good. So if you're brewing on the countertop versus in the fridge, change your times. All right. What origin is the most popular for cold brew coffee?
Like in abundance, or what do people like the most?
I would say in abundance, like
okay,
most widely used. And this is kind of like one of those questions where like I've had a decent amount of experience of trying different cold brews, and a lot of them are from this origin.
Gotcha. I saw somewhere, but I saw two of them that were like the most used. So I only know which one of them are. So let's see. You might have both of them in your list.
I tried to make it easy because it's different than the most popular regions to grow coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this one is the one that of the bunch that I've tried at different coffee shops, most of them say that the origin at least includes this one.
Okay.
Is it Colombian, Ethiopian, Kenya, or Indonesia?
I'm going to go with Kenya.
See, that'd be a super good guess. That's like a high quality one. So is Ethiopia, but Colombia is
okay.
The one that I find all the time.
Gotcha.
And not every bean from Colombia tastes the same, but usually you'll find notes of lemon accents if your palate's trained. And if you pick that up, like 9 times out of 10, when I ask them where it's from, they say Colombia.
Gotcha. Yeah. So the thing I was reading, they had two origins that were like the most abundant. Like most coffee comes from two places.
Brazil.
One of them was Guatemala. And I don't remember what the other one was. Yeah. But it could have been Colombia, which is, I'm sure, what that was.
Guatemala's up there, but it's definitely not like the top two. I think Brazil's 100% like probably number one. And then Sumatra's pretty high too. I don't know.
Yeah, I should have wrote it down so then I would have remembered, but whatever.
Yeah, and it could be changing year to year too.
I'm sure it is.
Okay, question number four. Are most commercial cold brews light or dark roasted?
I'm going to go with light roasted.
No. Dark roasted. And the trick in there was commercial. So a lot of the times, like commercial companies, because they're making a lot of cold brew, they'll blend a lot of different origins to get it to taste similar year over year.
And they'll burn
it. Definitely. Yeah. Well, Starbucks especially will burn it, and some of the other companies will too. But these aren't necessarily burnt. They're just darker roasted. And the reason is the darker you roast the bean, the more characteristics of the origin that you lose. So beans from Guatemala or Central America will taste different than beans from Africa, just innately by how they're grown and other stuff, for the most part in general. But if you roast it dark, two beans, they'll taste similar. They'll just start to taste more and more bitter. And then if you cold brew it, the bitterness kind of gets muted and you get more of like a chocolatey note. And a lot of people will complain that cold brews all taste the same for that reason, because most people use a darker roast.
Gotcha. I feel like you've told me that before, and yeah. I didn't think about it until you just said it.
Yeah. Okay. Question number five.
So real quick, this game lies on this answer. Like, it's riding on this question and this answer. I think, right?
That's
I have
true.
Two right. You have two right. If I get this, I win. If I don't, if I lose this, Brian, I'm going to give it to you because I blew it. I took my one chance and I blew it.
Okay. Yeah, I think you'll get this one right. Which of the following affects the strength of cold brew? Is it the grind size, the temperature, the brew time, or all the above?
All of the above.
Boom. Yes. And that was kind of like a gimme question, but that kind of sums it all up. For anybody that's brewing at home or wants to try it themselves, those are the things that you look for. Like, how big is your grind? What temperature are you brewing at? And then how long are you brewing it for? And if you mess around with all those, that's how you get the golden cup.
Cool. So dude. I guess I'm the caffeine king.
You are. Congratulations.
Thanks, man. I just want to thank Candid Coffee Co. for all the opportunities to...
Bro, you should start a coffee company.
I should, right?
Yeah, you won. You're the caffeine king, bro.
Welcome. This episode is sponsored by the Caffeine King Coffee Co.
Hey, I wonder if it's taken. Look it up.
I will, but probably not because I'll leave the coffee making to Candid Coffee Co. Drinkcandid.com. In this episode, we learned cold brew has more caffeine than regular coffee.
It can also have less caffeine than regular coffee.
And coarse grounds make all the difference. See you next time on 10 Facts About Today.